The River Cam is in peril. The development of our city is now causing precious chalk streams to disappear, and the iconic River Cam is being badly degraded. Filmmaker Tony Evers' documentary, Pure Clean Water, tells the story of what's happening to the Cam, and Tony took me on a tour of the river. We began our journey at Coldham's Brook, close to the back of Cambridge United's Abbey Stadium.
So we're here outside Cambridge United's football ground. We're actually at gate 38. And the reason that we're here is because there's an interesting bridge which goes over Coldham's Brook. So if we just walk a few metres up these steps, let's have a look and see what's actually in the brook at the moment. I think if we were to jump in there, we would get our feet just slightly damp, but obviously a lot of vegetation is now filling up what should be a flowing stream.
I can't see anything, but I can see the greenery. I can possibly see a little bit of damp. There's no indication that it's ever been a brook to a certain extent.
Where we are, there's actually, parallel to us, another ditch, which is the Cambridge East Main Drain. And some of the water which should be in Coldham's Brook has been captured by the East Main Drain, which drains into Barnwell Lake. So we'll have a little look at that later on. But let's just have a look at the other side of the bridge, see if we can see any more chance of water.
It's a little bit more promising, but it's very green and it's very gunky as well.
It's very gunky. There's no obvious flow and it's essentially covered with duckweed. And this is an indication that we've got this combination at the moment of warm weather, very low flow and a lot of nutrients in the water, which is causing this blossoming of mangle material.
And how long has it been like this?
Sadly, since as long as I've been in Cambridge, which was 2000, these chalk streams around Cambridge have not been flowing in the way that they ought to. And I think if we trace back the history, it dates back to large-scale water abstraction from the chalk. Because all of the water that we use in Cambridge, whenever we turn on our tap, comes from underground, from the chalk. It's very pure water, it's very clean water, it's very cheap for the water companies to process before they pipe it to our homes. But it does mean that that's water which would otherwise be going to nature, and we've lost that.
And is this because of the development that's happened already? And there's plenty of development which is planned for the future, but Cambridge has, over these past couple of decades, had quite a bit of development, housing, businesses. Is that the ultimate cause of what we're seeing in front of us?
Well, I think for many of us who look around Cambridge at the moment, we think there's an explosive growth going on, and there certainly is. But there's an explosive growth that's been going on for a number of years now. So certainly that's one reason why we're not getting enough water into nature. It's because we keep adding taps and adding more taps. But the other problem is that we're all using more water than we used to. So it's typically said that we use four times more water than our grandparents did. And this combination of us using more water and there being more people, that's what's really causing this. I can only describe it as a crisis in our chalk streams.
And does this vary from season to season? I mean, for example, in September, it felt like it never was going to stop raining at all. Would this have, at that point, have had more water in it?
Well, the thing about chalk streams is that the water falls on the chalk and then percolates through before it reaches the water table. Now, when we have a lot of vegetation, so during the summer especially, any water that falls gets caught by those trees, by the grass, and there's very little, if any, that actually seeps down into the water table. So during the summer, at the height of summer, then water levels will be naturally flow low and the springs will have less power in them and the streams will have very little flow in them. But during the winter, just before spring, is when they should be at their maximum power.
So up to a point, the chalk streams almost act as a bank where a repository is put in.
That's an excellent way of thinking about it, yes, yes. And you can't take out more than you put in, as any depositor investor will know. And sadly, that's exactly what we're doing. And the net result of that is that not just that the streams, as we're seeing here, have very little water in them, but in a number of cases, they have no water in them. And this is absolutely devastating for the ecology that exists in these streams.
I noticed not too far away when I was cycling in, there was a beware of the toad sign, which I don't think I'd noticed before. Are there many toads around?
Yes, there are. And the things about toads is that they're migratory animals. And we know that the Barnwell Lake, which is just over there, a few hundred metres over there, is one of the areas where they like to breed. And I know that on Newmarket Road, for a while now, the Amphibian Society has been having nightly help the toad across the road sessions during the winter, and they're in their peak migration. So we're about 20 metres away from that bridge where we saw the Coldhams Brook, and now we're at what is really a drainage ditch. It's the East Main Ditch. It's a flood protection for Cambridge. And the reason why we can see some flow is at some point it has captured some of the water which should be flowing through Coldhams Brook. So it's now going through the East Main drain, and this will flow into Barnwell Lake.
Would we in the past have expected for this to be higher, to have more water flowing through here?
Well, if we'd gone back 200 or 300 years, this wouldn't have even existed. This is a relatively modern feature to try and protect Cambridge from flooding, and the water would have been over there where we were originally. But even if you put this water back into Coldhams Brook, we haven't got a huge amount of flow. No.
Again, it's quite murky, but there is water is the first thing here. Sort of various weeds and foliage which has ended up in there.
Yeah, we want to see some vegetation in our water streams and brooks, but certainly this is giving a sense of being overgrown, and it wouldn't take too much for this whole thing to be completely overgrown and covered with vegetation. So we're just probably 50 metres from Newmarket Road now, but we're in a completely tranquil and peaceful spot. This is the Barnwell Lake. So water is that we saw flowing through the East Main drain is coming into Barnwell Lake, and it's a really lovely spot, I think. For many years, I think it was just a private area used by a small fishing club. But since the Chisholm Trail has been put in, we now have an access point where at least you can view it. We're actually stood in front of a metal fence. But I know the plan at one time was that this would be opened up, there would be a community centre here or a visitor centre with a cafe, and I'm certainly hoping like that. I'd certainly come in here in the evening and have a cup of coffee.
And what has the Chisholm Trail, do you think, brought to the River Cam, other than the cycleway alongside it?
Well, I think it's really opened it up for a lot of people. People who would otherwise have driven or taken a bus, suddenly being able to cycle or to walk, it gives you a different pace of life, and it gives you the opportunity to stop and look and take in nature. And I think it's increasing the awareness and enjoyment of nature that we have in Cambridge, because we do have a number of really good green spaces which are there, hopefully, for posterity.
And it's interesting, during our short conversation and when I came up here, actually, there's quite a few cyclists who are using it. I don't know why I'm surprised.
Yeah, there's quite a good number of cyclists. If you come in the morning, I think you'll find a number of students cycling along here, and also walkers as well. And if we go on the bridge, which I think we will do maybe later on, we'll see that's pretty well used as well. And some lovely views over the Cam as well. The Cambridge University and Town Waterworks started in the late 1850s. And at that point, they started taking water out of Cherry Hinton area. And Coldhams Brook originates at Cherry Hinton. They flow towards Cambridge, first known as Cherry Hinton Brook, and then later on it becomes known as Coldhams Brook. And Coldhams Brook would have powered a mill on this site, just at Newmarket Road. It's very hard to imagine now, given the amount of water that we see in Coldhams Brook. And that's as a result of water abstraction, which started in the late 1850s.
That's an interesting one, because we think of the problem of water for Cambridge as being a relatively recent phenomenon. But this is actually evidence of it starting way back.
That's absolutely right. This is something that, since we moved from water being supplied to Cambridge by Hobson's Conduit, which was a water scheme developed in the 17th century and lasted until the 1850s. In the Market Square, there would have been a fountain which people went to collect their water. But with the rapid expansion of the Cambridge population in the 1850s, that was no longer sufficient. So the Cambridge University and Town Waterworks was founded at that point with the aim of supplying water cheaply to the citizens of Cambridge. But it meant that they needed new water supplies, and coming from underground was the easiest and cheapest way to do that. So really from that point onwards, yes, we've started to see a decline in our chalk streams.
It's kind of like when we talk about the rise in global temperatures and we're told about 1.5 degrees, say, higher than pre-industrial levels. It's that same kind of feel as to what's happened to our water supply here.
I think that's quite a good analogy. Ever since the Industrial Revolution, we've seen a number of factors which are really affecting the environment in very negative ways. But these things have all taken off in major ways since, it seems, the 1960s. Since then, we've all got used to having showers and baths every day. We've got used to a very profligate lifestyle, and I'm afraid the environment is suffering in many ways as a result. So we're now probably 50 metres away from the River Cam, and we're looking at a tributary into it, which is carrying water which has flown out of the Barnwell Lake, but would originally have been chalk water that's originated from Cherry Hinton. And what we should be seeing is a nice, clear, steady flow. But what we're actually seeing is, well, how would you describe it?
Well, we're back to gunk again, aren't we? But gunk. The other thing, it's still gunk. It's not even, there doesn't seem to be any pressure at all moving it forward.
That's absolutely right. I think if we go a few metres in the other direction, upstream, then we would see that the water is moving very, very slowly and piling up this duckweed. But it's really a horrible sight, and it's indicating that we've got a combination of warm temperatures, low flow and high nutrients, and the nutrients is coming from pollution somewhere, probably not sewage in the sense that we've seen in many other parts of the country, sewage being dumped in our rivers. This is probably not the cause here. It's probably the result of runoff from farms, but that's not to say it's not still a problem. It certainly is, as you can see.
I'm wondering how much of this, obviously, as you say, there's considerable amount of pollution that is impacting the water, but also climate change itself. The fact that Cambridge seems to be the place that so often records the highest temperatures these days, that must have some kind of impact as well.
Yeah, well, East Anglia, we're in a unique position with regards to water because we're in the driest part of the country, which means that we're very susceptible to drought. But we're also in one of the lowest lying areas of the country, which means that we're equally well very susceptible to flooding. So they're really, I think, two sides of the same coin. And one of the things we're seeing with climate change is that we're getting stuck weather patterns. So, for instance, in March this year, we had 30 days without any rain, and yet we've had other months where it seems to rain every day. And it's this stuck weather patterns, which I think is really going to potentially cause big problems for our region unless we take preventative actions.
Because we've had, on the face of it, beautiful weather these past few days, yet at the same time, we've been hearing reports from Scotland of flooding and rail lines washed away. The two, in the I know there's a distance between Cambridge and Glasgow, but even so.
There certainly is. And I think when we met, one of the first things we said to each other was, gosh, what a lovely day it is. And it's certainly hard not to think otherwise. I don't know what the temperature is, maybe 24, it's blue sky, it's sunshine, it feels idyllic. And in fact, when I was cycling over here, I saw a number of people on the Cambridge parks sitting outside having picnics. It was as if it was the middle of summer. So given that we're into October, it's terrifying. So chalk streams are a unique ecology. We think there's something like 230 of them in the world, of which 75% of them are here in the UK. And the majority of those are in southeast England. And we're very blessed that we have a number of them just around Cambridge. So they're really something that we should really protect and look after. They've been described as our forgotten Amazon. Here we are in Cambridge with the Centre for Conservation, World Conservation, right here in the middle of our city. So the question that I'm eternally asking myself is, these very, very special environments, are we really taking care of them as we should?
One often gets the impression that not enough of the right people are worried about it. Yes, some very senior people, very eminent people have spoken about the danger to the chalk streams, but it doesn't seem to stop people thinking about development and what might happen. It gets mentioned, but the development still happens. That's not to say that development shouldn't happen, it's just that it just doesn't seem to come up in the consideration in the first place at any level.
Well, I think things might be changing because we've seen recently that the Environment Agency has put in formal objections to a couple of developments around Cambridge. One was the next phase of the Darwin development, and also to a cancer hospital on the biomedical campus. So they've said that until the water companies and the planning authorities can demonstrate that there really will be sufficient water and this will not cause further harm to the environment, then they don't think that those developments should go ahead. So we could be about to witness a real sea change in the way that we treat developments versus water.
And that, of course, comes up against the housing department, Michael Gove's department, his plans. That doesn't equate with an environment agency which has already said, well, a few hundred homes, no thank you on the Darwin Green development, and you really need to be careful about this hospital.
Yes, and I think like a lot of environmentalists, I'm probably afraid that when it comes to Michael Gove versus the Environment Agency, that perhaps the Environment Agency is going to lose that one. So yeah, I'm very, very concerned, as a number of people are, about the growth that is being planned around Cambridge. And if we want to protect our water environments, and especially our chalk streams, we are going to have to take our foot off the pedal when it comes to growth.
Your film, which we can see at the Cambridge Film Festival a little later this month, what was your starting point for that?
Well, in 2019, Councillor Katie Thornborough had called a meeting at the Cambridge Guildhall, which was entitled something like The Chalk Streams Crisis. And that was really something of an awakening for me when I realised that, yes, water was becoming not just an issue, it was becoming a major issue. So I started delving into Cambridge's relationship with water at that point. I became fascinated by this watercourse, which is known as Hobson's Conduit, which flows into the centre of Cambridge. And I wondered how it was that we'd allowed, for instance, what would once have been flowing water in the market, how had we allowed that to be disappeared so that now we just have a dry fountain? What can be sadder than a dry fountain in the marketplace?
And your previous work, what else have you done in the past on film?
Yeah, so in 2020 I met up with Nigel Kinnings, who's a filmmaker who's worked on other films connected with water. And when I explained what I was doing, he was very keen to get involved and to really develop this into a more ambitious project. So it was through his initiatives, I think, that we started to interview a number of people. So in the film you'll see not just ecologists and geologists and hydrologists, but planners, people who are involved with water in all of its forms. So people from the water company, from the Environment Agency. I think it gives, I hope, a rounded picture of what is the situation with regard to water and to growth in Cambridge at the moment.
And in terms of seeing the film, obviously there's a chance at the film festival. But beyond that, are you looking to have it available to download, to stream, and one of the plethora of streaming services that are around these days, or where else might we be able to see the film?
Well, the whole idea is this is supposed to be a campaigning film. It's a film, it's a call for action. It's a call for action on all of our parts. And if you go to the film website, which is purecleanwater.film, you'll see a section there on the website called Call for Action, where you can get involved with one of the many campaign groups which are concerned with water in the Cambridge area. So groups like the Cam Valley Forum and the Friends of the Cam. So I'd really encourage anybody who has any concerns to please join those groups and become more involved with water. So as part of that, we want to take the film out into the community. We think that it's got a wider remit and interest rather than just Cambridge. Throughout Southeast England, the same concerns about water and growth and the environment and how those three items fit together is a very common theme. So in the first instance, we're hoping to be taking it to audiences in cinemas throughout other parts of Southeast England, but will certainly be other community events in Cambridge, either late this year or early next year.
And the showing at the film festival, there's a talk, I think, afterwards as well.
Yes, there's a panel discussion with myself, with Councillor Katie Thornborough, and with one of the sponsors of the environment section of the film festival this year. We're stood on the new Chisholm Trail Bridge, which is a lovely addition, I think. And just in the time that we've been here, we've seen a number of cyclists and walkers, and there's a dog just about to go past. So it's something that's being pretty well used. And as we look towards Fenditton, I think you get one of the most beautiful views around Cambridge.
It's beautiful. We've got a bit of sort of streaky cloud at the moment, but you can still see the sun rippling gently on the river beneath us. You can see quite a distance as well.
You certainly can. And there's a number of people either sat by the riverbank or walking by the riverbank. Yeah, a number of people really enjoying the riverside, cycling, walking, some just sitting. It's such a lovely warm day today, albeit somewhat unusual for October. But also we can see what appears to be clear water, and I think you'd have to agree that at the moment this looks like a pretty idyllic scene.
The problem is, of course, when we were further up by the Cambridge United ground at the Abbey Stadium, there wasn't the water there. There was, as we said, there was gunk, there was reeds, there was this, there was that. There wasn't the flowing water. Is there a chance that at some point, if we actually manage to do the right things for a change, that some water might return to those areas?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And once you get water, I think anyone who's ever constructed a little pond in their garden knows that as soon as you have water, it attracts wildlife. And nature can bounce back given the opportunity. So I'm really confident that if we can put more water into our streams, into our rivers, into our brooks, then we'll see an enormous flourishing of nature. So that's one of the things I think which gives me hope and cause for optimism. But just in front of us, what looks like an idyllic scene is actually somewhat misleading. If we'd come here just a few months ago on Midsummer's Day, 21st of June, sadly, we would have seen dead fish floating in the river. And the reason for that, we think, was there were very warm conditions. When the water's warm, it can hold less oxygen. And that was followed by a heavy thunderstorm. And the thunderstorm causes low pressure, and the low pressure releases more oxygen. So we had a sudden decrease of oxygen in the water. But clearly we've had lots of thunderstorms and warm weather in the past, and we haven't seen dead fish flowing down the Cam. So I think what we were seeing was there, we've got a river here which is in trouble, and it just needs a little tipping point to just put it over the edge. So what appears to be an idyllic scene is sadly somewhat misleading. This is a river that's in trouble and it needs our help.